Chapter 23 Cover Stories Part 3 A person needs a face. A tree needs bark. Mandarin Proverb. Raphael Romain. The ex-legionnaire was walking towards them swiftly. He'd not come from the club's main room, but from a side door near the coat check stand. Jeans and a sport jacket, he could be carrying concealed, Wu Fei automatically noted, and dropped back a bit and sideways, giving Hiro and himself a free field of action. They were in the lobby of the club, between the entrance to the dance floor, from which vibrations and thumps spilled out, and the double doors leading to the street. There was a bouncer there, Wu Fei remembered. If they made a run for it and Romain shouted, the man would try to stop them. Hiro's fingers twitched, trying to free his hand, but Wu Fei kept a hold of it. Didn't want to look suspicious. No need to run off. Or is there? The man smiled sensuously, casting an amused glance down at their groins. Wu Fei felt himself color, and didn't suppress the reaction. Romain would think it embarrassment rather than the fury it actually was. At the man's crass nosiness. Romain stroked his chin with his thumb. His fingers were well manicured, but calloused. He probably kept up his marksmanship. Dark hair was cut conservatively, neat bangs over hard, brown eyes. His look was a bit at odds with his face, angular, hard planes that had been withered and baked in the suns of Sudan and Malaysia. Where he'd served in a mercenary group after the Alliance had disbanded the Legion. He'd retired from his militaristic career a decade ago. Now in his 40s, he was comfortably set, in both Exeter's affairs and occasionally his bed. Wu Fei noted the strength in the muscled frame. He had half a head over Hiro. His body spoke of power and endurance, but he didn't seem overly aggressive. "My name's Raphael." He introduced himself, pronouncing the name with the French inflection. "I work for Andrev. He's the owner of this club. We noticed you two dancing. You're new here, aren't you?" "Yes," Wu Fei replied, keeping his voice as casual as he could. "We arrived from Earth just recently. We're studying at the university here." "Really? Students?" Romain's voice was not the slightest bit doubtful. Only curious. If you've just arrived, you've probably not heard that Andrev sometimes invites people over to his other club. Would you be interested?" Hiro's hand flexed in anticipation, crushing Wu Fei's fingers a bit. "Tonight?" Wu Fei let his eyes go a bit wide. "Sure, it's barely 11. Night's not even started yet."
"What other club?"
Hiro asked, probably prompted by the fact that Romain's eyes had flickered over him curiously. "It's a place 20 minutes from here. We have a van. There'll be others coming with us. It's on invitation only. No cover fee, though drinks are charged. It's very select." He let that dangle in front of them. Wu Fei made a show of turning towards Hiro, as if consulting him with a glance, though he already knew what he had to say.
I don't know. Maybe this weekend, but not tonight, if you don't mind," he refused slowly.
A spasm crushed his fingers again, though Hiro did not express his surprise any other way. Romain's eyebrows arched.
"You sure? Other people will be coming, so you'll, be quite safe."
Thanks. Wu Fei wasn't particularly worried about getting into a van with Romain to go somewhere he wanted to go, but his alter ego would be expected to be more cautious. "We appreciate the invitation, but we have courses early tomorrow morning. We were going to call it a night. Sorry." Romain studied him. He looked a bit surprised, but the hard planes of his face were difficult to read accurately. "That's okay, kids. I can't claim to have ever had a university life, but I remember what Revali was like when I'd hit the bottle too much the night before.
So, you'll be here again this weekend?
Sure. We heard this was one of the best clubs in town. For, well, couples.
That it is. Okay, what are your names?
Chang Lin, and this is Yui Summers.
Right, well, I'll keep an eye out. See you on Saturday, maybe.
Romaine gave them a pleasant, if slightly dismissive, smile, and turned back towards the discreet door near the coat check stand.
Wu Fei took deep breaths as soon as the club's double doors closed behind them, but it was no longer to get his hard-on under control. That had rather taken care of itself. They walked away from the bored-looking bouncer in silence, heading towards the bus stop. Hiro said nothing, but Wu Fei could almost feel the question pressing him like the fingers still pressing his hand, wondering why they'd squandered a chance, maybe their only chance, of getting invited to the mansion and finishing the mission.
That was too soon, Wu Fei finally muttered, after they had traveled a few minutes away from the club. Exeter had caught two undercover cops and a preventer trying to infiltrate his club and his mansion. No way would he pick up two strangers like that without a minimal amount of checking up.
And it was wrong, Wu Fei added, the back of his neck prickling. He'd let his intuition guide him, prompt him to refuse. There had been something off in that situation.
Suddenly it struck him. Romaine had approached them in the deserted lobby. Normally, Exeter's right hand or another flunky approached the guests at the bar or with the waiter at a table, so one of the club's employees could vouch for him when he extended the invitation. Romaine had wanted them to accept where there were no witnesses.
Hiro let loose a slight hiss of breath, almost a sigh, as he probably came to the same conclusion. His fingers tightened again, warningly.
You're right. Tail.
Fuck. Wu Fei tried to listen for footsteps behind them, but he couldn't hear them above the brush of their own boots against asphalt. No matter. He trusted Hiro. His partner could tell someone was following them from the faint prickle of a hostile gaze on his back 100 meters away. He was better than a radar when it came to things like this. They walked a few more meters in silence, still holding hands, just like a normal couple on their way home. Maybe they really had grabbed Exeter's interest, and he was just having someone follow them home to check up on them? No, it was too soon. They'd hardly done anything to stand out yet, had they? And Romaine had invited them out in the lobby, away from the other clubbers. Failure ate like acid in Wu Fei's mind, his memory scouring over the evening. What had they done wrong? How had they blown their cover so soon? Man, Sam was going to have an aneurysm over this. Talk about a waste of time, money, and effort to set up their background stories. They both realized at the same moment that there was a good deal more at stake than getting chewed out by Foxwood.
Play it or fight,
Hiro murmured under his breath, as they saw the van pull up 2 blocks ahead of them. It idled by the sidewalk, but no one stepped out. It was between them and the bus stop, around the corner.
Fuck.
Wu Fei heard a scuffle of shoe on tarmac behind them. The tail, 2 men, maybe 3, was getting closer, closing in.
Play it or fight,
Hiro murmured again. His fingers tightened once, then loosened over Wu Fei's, as he got ready to throw himself to the side if need be. How many in the van? Neither partner was armed, of course. Play it or fight?
Play it, Wu Fei decided, hoping he hadn't condemned them both to death.
He caught Hiro looking at him, assessing, but his partner did not question his decision. No need for him to do so. Wu Fei already was. The instinct to try to keep up the bluff had no basis in logic that he could see. Maybe something in Romaine's demeanor, as he'd left them earlier? If he was wrong, he would be placing Hiro and himself in a position they would have a hard time fighting their way out of. The van doors opened as they passed it, and 3 men jumped out and shoved them bodily into an alley between 2 buildings opposite the van doors. Wu Fei shouted in feigned surprise. Hiro was silent, probably too busy stilling his reflexes. Someone clamped a hand on Wufei's face, missing his mouth in the hustle, but the gun that was suddenly pressing against his ribs was warning enough to keep silent. The alley was clean and free of garbage. This was L3, not some dirtside town. Or L2. A chain-link fence at the end of it blocked it off from other alleys between the buildings. Wufei and Hiro found themselves backed up against it at gunpoint. They wouldn't do it here, Wufei reminded himself savagely, quelling his reflexes to fight and kill. They wouldn't want to deal with bodies, not this close to the club. They'd get the partners into the van and drive them somewhere, maybe the same place the other three men were killed, near the recycling plant. The two who'd been following them on foot turned into the alley and walked up to the three men holding the partners at gunpoint. One of the former was Romaine. He had his hands in his jean pockets and was frowning. Wufei thought he looked puzzled and anxious, not murderous. A cautious relief flickered in Wufei's heart. His intuition had been trying to tell him that they still had a chance of bluffing their way out of this. It seemed to find itself confirmed by the man's demeanor. "What the hell is this?" Wufei snapped, making sure he sounded as scared as he could manage. Hiro, wisely, said nothing. "What do you guys want with us?" Romaine just stared at them, first at Hiro, for a long minute, then at Wufei. He looked uncertain. Then he turned away without a word, and walked to the entrance of the alley, hooking the receiver of a slim phone in his ear. Wufei chanced one glance at Hiro. His partner's head was down, but his eyes, hidden by the rich fall of his messy bangs, were riveted on Romaine's profile as the man dialed a number. Good. Hiro could hopefully keep track of the call, figure out what Romaine was planning, while Wufei provided the distraction. "People saw us leave the club," he said loudly, letting his voice tremble. The eyes of the men holding them at gunpoint twitched towards him. One of them motioned his gun, and Wufei let himself fall back against the chain-link fence with a frightened gasp. The warrior let a moment of pleased surprise flutter through him. He was a better actor than he thought. Nothing like a little pressure to bring out hidden talents. He quickly tried to remember the expressions and body language of people he'd seen in similar circumstances, namely criminals and Oz soldiers he himself had held at gunpoint in the past. We talked with the waiter. He knows who we are, he added, voice low but pleading, letting the words stutter. At the entrance to the alley, Romaine glanced back at him. He was talking very softly into the phone, but he looked worried, gesturing angrily at them, a distracted movement the person on the other end of the line could not see. Wufei continued to plead, his mouth on automatic, probably not making much sense. But then, he wouldn't be expected to in these circumstances. He started a bit as he felt Hiro's hand slip into his. Romaine was nodding on the phone, his conversation visibly wrapping up. Fingers squeezed his. Wufei glanced at him. Hiro's face was neutral, unreadable, but his tension had dropped considerably, and he no longer looked like he was a fraction of a second away from killing everyone in that alley who wasn't his partner. This was further confirmed when he released Wufei's hand and then slipped his arm around the Chinese preventer's shoulders, the gesture of a comforting boyfriend. "Full marks for improv," Wufei noted distractedly, a hindrance to their mobility that he would never have allowed himself if they were about to fight for their lives. Reassured, Wufei let himself be shoved into the van when Romaine gave his men the all-clear. Wufei covertly scrutinized the walls of the cellar room, unwilling to take things at face value. He was too used to being caught, caged, and kept as a Gundam pilot to convince himself this was normal, rather than some form of elaborate trap. Where were the guards with the itchy trigger finger and the ugly light of revenge in their eyes? The cameras, the bars, the handcuffs, the drugs, the pain. They'd been shoved around a bit, but it had all been remarkably gentle. Well, if you had the kind of standards Wu Fei had. He was trying to keep in mind how Chang Lin would be reacting to all this. The sight of weapons, the hard, watchful look in their guard's eyes, Romaine's weighing glance, and the silence. No one had said anything in the van, or when they had changed vehicles in a deserted building site, or when they had parked in an underground garage. After a while, Wu Fei had stopped pleading and demanding an explanation. His throat was getting sore, and the sound of his voice was shredding his own nerves. His fight-or-flight instincts kept telling him that any second now, he'd get shoved to his knees with a cold press of metal against the back of his head, and bang! Instead, he was firmly herded through the garage, up a flight of stairs, into a small room with monitor feeds and consoles. The pictures on the screen, particularly of the driveway, were familiar. That's when he realized they were in Exeter's mansion. The question, why, that exploded into his mind. Such a risk for Exeter to have brought them here. Was immediately answered when one of the men present, who'd been watching the screens, stood up and uncovered a particularly bulky machine on one side of the room. Wu Fei had felt a wave of tension run through the hand that was holding his, as he and Hiro realized it was a retinal scanner, and that Romaine was going to be checking their identities, and more thoroughly than anyone at Ops had ever imagined. But that made no sense, Wu Fei thought, glaring at the cellar's metal door. Their alter egos would not have their scans anywhere in the system. The identity cards and student IDs, fingerprints and pictures that Romaine's men had collected, would be what was needed to confirm they were the people they claimed to be. Retinal scans were useless. Hell, even if they were cops, they probably wouldn't have their scans in the system, unless they'd been in charge of a high-level security operation at some point. So why had Romaine taken this unusual step? One that had forced him to take two potential hostiles to his home ground. It didn't actually matter that he'd scanned them. Hiro and Wu Fei's retinal patterns were no more available than information on their home address or previous occupation. As far as the world was concerned, the Hiro Yui and Chang Wu Fei who worked in the Preventer's Primary Intervention Division didn't exist. But Wu Fei didn't like the feeling of uncertainty this strange move had engendered. He glanced around the walls again, hunching over, senses wary like an animal sensing a trap. In both his careers, pilot and preventer, what you didn't know was very likely to kill you. Hiro was sitting next to him, still and unmoved, as if carved from stone. The cellar was full of boxes and old furniture, including a double bed with a stained mattress. It was the only place to sit. The guards had jumped them down on it when they led them to the underground room. Then they'd left the partners alone, with a last injunction to shut up and behave if they wanted to get out of this in one piece. Wu Fei took one last discreet glance around. He couldn't see any cameras. Would they have any in a cellar? But paranoid, cultivated by a few Oz interrogation rooms, would not let him take a chance. He pretended to rub his arms as if cold and in shock. Then he swung his feet up on the bed and inched over to Hiro, put his arms around his shoulders and buried his face in the crook of his neck. Hiro had gone as rigid as a board for an instant, before understanding what he intended. A hand, awkward, since it was safe to say he'd never done this before, patted Wu Fei's shoulder in reassurance, before Hiro twisted a bit to embrace him comfortingly, masking his mouth from any potential watchers. "What do they want with us?" Wu Fei asked, out loud, letting his voice quiver. "Don't know." Hiro's words sounded stiff and forced, but Wu Fei knew that shock did strange things to people. It wouldn't seem faked. Then Hiro spoke again, in a low whisper, lips nearly unmoving where they brushed Wu Fei's neck. "Romaine called Exeter. They were told we were coming." Wu Fei stiffened, even though it was obvious something was up, from the way Romaine had reacted. Shit! How had they known? but apparently they were not given all that many details. They're not sure we're the men they were waiting for. Too young, and not what they expected. Romaine wanted to kill us anyway. Exeter stopped him, I think. Yes, that would fit his profile, Wu Fei estimated. They're holding us here until they can get confirmation from their informant, whoever that is. What do we do now? Wu Fei licked his lips. Good question. He glanced over Hiro's shoulder. This wasn't a prison. It was a cellar. The door was metal, but the lock was crap. Maxwell could open it just by sneezing on it. Hiro probably wouldn't even bother doing that. How many outside? He whispered. He'd heard the scuffle of shoes on concrete, the scrape of a chair, or something being pushed back, and low voices. Three, from the sound of it. So, they do consider us a threat. Yes. They could have an army out of earshot, too, waiting for Hiro and Wu Fei to betray themselves, confirm that they were plants by trying to break out. Well, that was the risk. But on the other hand, they were here, in sight of their main objective. This could go one of two ways. Their captors would be going back to their informant, trying to get confirmation, and they'd also be checking up on the partner's backgrounds to see if they were valid. So either Exeter would pierce their cover, and they'd end up taking a drive out to the recycling plant. Romaine wouldn't do it here, not in the mansion. Or their cover would hold, and what? Wu Fei's mind, cold, analytical, and perfectly detached from the death threat hanging over them, went over all known information on Exeter, and the profile the Profenders had put together. This was L3. Exeter had the local cops pretty much in his pocket. If Exeter believed they were students, he'd probably release them with a few very realistic threats, and the knowledge that if they went to the police, he'd be able to quell the investigation. There was no real risk for him, so he probably wouldn't kill them offhand. It wasn't his style. But one thing Exeter certainly wouldn't do would be to invite them back to his private club at a later date. So, whatever happened, this was it. This was the first and last time they'd be in this mansion. At least, if they didn't break their way back in later, at risk of getting caught and dropping the Preventers into hot water. Wu Fei leaned back in Hiro's arms. They stared at each other for a few seconds, the deadly gamble considered and agreed upon with a glance. You take the door and one guard. I'll take the others, Wu Fei mouthed. Hiro didn't bother to nod. He was off the bed and throwing himself at the door in an instant. One savage kick, and the measly lock, and the hinges, snapped like sticks. The door, catapulted from its frame, slammed into one of the men standing behind it. Wu Fei was a split second behind Hiro. His partner leapt on the man felled by the door, leaving the last two to Wu Fei. They'd been sitting on a bench, 5 feet away. One was trying to get his gun from his holster, stumbling away from the wall. The other was already swinging up the rifle he'd had across his knees. Wu Fei crashed into him, slammed him against the wall, elbow in the solar plexus. The man bent sharply forward with a grunt. The rifle slipped from his fingers. Wu Fei grabbed his neck in a headlock, twisting his victim so that his torso shielded the preventer. The other thug had his gun raised, but he hesitated to shoot at his friend for that one fatal second. The gun wavered, dipped. Its owner, beefy, solid muscle, a head taller than Wu Fei, took a step forward, towards the apparently slender young man, to rip him away from his colleague. Wu Fei used the hold on the other man's neck for leverage, and kicked high, a vicious, scything blow with their combined weight behind it. His boot met the last man's head with a solid crunch. The goon fell, as if poleaxed. The man in the headlock was gasping in painful gulps of air, fumbling at the rifle's strap that had caught on his wrist, trying to push Wu Fei away with his other hand. A short, savage punch to the gut. The man folded with a retching gasp. Wu Fei slammed an elbow down on the exposed neck as his victim doubled over. The man fell to the floor like a sack of meat. Hiro was already finished with his man and was positioned at the door leading to the garage, listening. Wufei grabbed one of the weapons from the floor and ran to the far door at the end of the hallway, which opened to the rest of the house. No noises or cries of alarm. Apparently, the possibility of their escape had not been planned for. Floor plans flashed through his mind's eye. He remembered that there were security cameras in the garage, and there would be some inside the mansion. But if Hiro and he were careful, they could reach their objective without being seen. Their aim was Romaine's office, where he and Exeter did the real, that is, the criminal, work, and where the secured computer system, containing details of the financial transactions with the syndicate, was kept. Exeter's office and bedroom also contained computers and safes, their informant had said, but most of the stuff there was related to Exeter's official businesses. Romaine was the keeper of his dirtier secrets. That was what they were after. Still without one word, unnecessary, they were of one mind, one lethal intent. They dragged the three men to the cellar room. A few seconds' search in the boxes turned up nothing to tie them with. Wufei hesitated. The men were out and pretty badly hurt. He expected the man he'd kicked might die. And Hiro's target was breathing funny through a broken, swollen jaw. They should be out of it for long enough. The partners fit the door back to its frame. It would pass casual inspection. More so than the absence of their three guards would. This was only a stopgap measure anyway, and they knew it. This was probably going to end in an almighty mess, however they played it, Wufei realized, watching Hiro scoop up one of the fallen weapons, a Krieg 552 rifle. Hiro glanced back at him. Wufei realized he'd actually sighed out loud. He shrugged under his partner's questioning look. Un sent us undercover. She wanted us to do this the subtle way, Wufei explained ruefully. Check, check, check. Hiro checked the rifle. The chamber and the magazine. The rattle of metal familiar and strangely thrilling. Subtlety's not our style, he stated succinctly, letting the rifle rest against his shoulder as he headed towards the door, slipping a magnum in the back of his belt. Wufei gripped his borrowed Kimber and followed in silent agreement. Romaine's office was large and pleasant, overlooking the mansion's small night-cloaked park through barred and reinforced windows. It had been locked, but not with a key, fortunately, since they had no lockpicks. The electronic system gave up under Hiro's ministrations in less than 20 seconds. The Krieg scored a dent in the delicate oak sideboard, where the monitor for the secured system rested. The system was on and unlocked. Hiro glanced back, a warning, and Wufei nodded in understanding. Taking up a spot near the door, ears pricked. Chances were Romaine had been there just minutes before, and would be returning shortly. He concentrated on the silence in the mansion. It was past midnight, and he could hear no one moving. In, Hiro murmured. Wufei glanced over to where his partner was sitting. Hiro had disabled the firewall and opened a link to their team in Brussels. Almost immediately, messages and command line windows started to flash up on the screen as the professional hackers working for OP started to break through the protections set around the secured information, using the access Hiro had provided for them. They would also warn Un that things were going down months earlier than expected. Wufei, at the door, spared a second to think of the look on the commander's face when she realized that the odds of them having done this quietly were minimal at best. With the hackers and their massive computing power doing the hard work for once, Hiro was free to start rifling through the filing cabinets on one side of the room, after he'd broken its lock with a vicious tug. He flipped through some papers, then just grabbed most of what he found and carried it over to Romaine's scanner. Wufei saw him hesitate as he passed near the safe. That would be where they would hit the real pay dirt, but neither of them had thought that explosives or a blowtorch would make appropriate club accessories, so they had no means with which to open it. Yui! Wufei hissed, hearing footsteps in the hallway outside. Hero was a blur of movement as he swapped the rifle for the files. He pressed himself against the wall on the other side of the door. 5 seconds before the electronic lock was carted and the door swung open.
"We'll contract Minsk, but I think Luxembourg is more likely to—"
Exeter gasped at the sight of the files spilled on the desk. Romain, right behind him, reached for a weapon in a shoulder holster beneath the sports jacket he was still wearing. But Hero already had the Krieg pointed at his head. Wufei grabbed Exeter and pressed a gun to his side, a silent order to keep quiet. Hero slipped a hand beneath Romain's coat, relieved him of the gun, and shoved him into the room. He closed the door quietly behind them, after a quick glance outside.
"You!"
Exeter was just beginning to get over his shock. Wufei patted him down briskly, pressing the gun into his ribs in a silent threat, when the man recoiled instinctively from the frisking. He could hear Hero give Romain the same treatment.
"Maintenant, on sait vraiment à qui on a affaire," Romain muttered.
"No talking," Hero ordered, in his deadliest voice. Exeter paled, but Romain looked unimpressed. Wufei shoved the financier into one of the chairs in front of Romain's desk. Hero kneed Romain to the floor and ordered him to put his hands on his head. He left Wufei to watch them, and went to pick up the files and continue scanning them and downloading the copies to the preventer system.
"Who?"
Exeter was getting over the shock. He was a tall man, in his late 40s, taller than Romain, and sinewy thin. His long, elegant fingers were white as they tightly gripped the armrests. Brown eyes flickered between Wufei's kimber and Romain's prostrate form. He had strong, clean-cut features, and light brown hair that reminded Wufei distantly of Trez. And there was some of the same self-assuredness, as the thin lips narrowed and he started to stare at Wufei's face instead of his gun, as if memorizing his features with an eye towards future retaliation.
"Just how does your Lady Un think she can get away with this?"
His voice was now cold and measured. All business. Hero's smooth movements over the scanner did not falter one iota.
"This is... what did you do to the men watching you?"
A flutter of anxiety passed through Exeter's eyes, disturbing his calm, as he suddenly realized he might be in considerable danger himself.
"I have high-level contacts here, in the government, and even the..."
His voice hardened again, but Romain made a hissing noise and he stopped talking. There was silence in the room for a little while. No alarm outside yet, though Romain's cell phone did ring once. He glanced at Wufei and made no move to answer it. Hero rifled the files, then picked up the Krieg again.
"Exeter, do you have the code to the safe?"
The man glanced up, startled. He didn't say anything, but his eyes narrowed and his mouth took a stubborn line.
"Open it," Hero bit out.
The thin lips twisted in bitter contempt, and Exeter leaned back in his chair firmly. Wufei sighed. He walked around the man lying on the floor until he was on the opposite side from Exeter, and pointed the kimber at Romain. Exeter turned that icy glare on Wufei, slowly. It was measuring him to a fine degree, a businessman judging someone's grit. The preventer returned the stare and slowly lowered the kimber till it was aiming at the back of Romain's knee. The ex-legionnaire tensed. Wufei could feel the movement, though his eyes did not leave Exeter's. As he tightened his finger on the trigger, Exeter looked away in enraged acquiescence, put his hands on the armrests, and pushed himself up. Romain's fingers loosened over his neck, one line of tension ready to uncoil.
"Raphael, ne bouge pas,"
Exeter ordered quickly.
"Mais,"
Romain whispered. But Exeter shook his head. He walked towards the safe. The Krieg trained on him every inch of the way. Romain's heated gaze dropped to the carpet an inch from his nose. His fingers laced themselves over his neck again, whitening as they tightened their grip in frustration.
"Unlock it slowly," Hero instructed Exeter in his familiar monotone. "Then stand back and open it at arm's reach. If you make any move to reach inside it, I will kill you."
Exeter bit his lip,
but did as he was told. Wu Fei kept the gun trained on Romaine, who was glaring angrily at the floor, face white under his tan.
"How do you think you'll get out of here alive?"
Exeter suddenly asked. He'd stepped away from the safe and, obeying the Krieg's mute but eloquent instructions, was returning to his chair.
"Irrelevant,"
Hiro answered coldly, poking through the contents of the safe cautiously.
"What?"
Exeter stared at his back.
"He means that they have what they came for and have gotten it out to their people,"
Romaine explained, from his position on the floor, glancing pointedly at the computer, cheerfully downloading its data to the hacker's system.
"How they get out, or if they get out, is not important. They've done what they came here for."
But, now you see what we're up against. J'aurais dû les éliminer tout de suite."
"Yes, you should have killed us when you had the chance," Wu Fei agreed calmly, catching enough of the words and the tone of voice to translate the gist.
"This is not over!"
Exeter turned towards Hiro to spit venomously.
"You pigs cannot just come in here and..."
"Andreev,"
Romaine said quickly.
"We will find out who you are and..."
"Andreev!
Don't think your precious preventers can protect you from our organ..." "Andreev, tais-toi!"
Exeter fell back in his chair with a hiss of frustration. Wu Fei was leaning against the desk, keeping an eye on the door and on Romaine. The silence of the office was only interrupted by the sound of Hiro mauling the contents of the safe. He put several papers aside for scanning, but tossed most of it casually aside. Bundles of cash, land titles, a small sachet of blue pills, a quickly dismantled semi-automatic. The beep behind him startled Wu Fei, though he kept eyes and gun on Romaine until he'd identified it. It was from the laptop in its docking station on Romaine's desk. It was connected to the main system, as secure as the rest, and undoubtedly being poked and prodded by their people in Brussels. Maybe it was a message from one of them. Keeping an eye on Romaine and Exeter, he moved around the desk and moused away the screensaver. The hackers had already broken open all firewalls and password protections. The email program was up and running, with a message in the inbox, already decrypted, open to perusal, as if Romaine had just recently checked it again. He probably had. The beep had been incoming email, but the current message on screen captured all of Wu Fei's attention.
"Listen to this."
Wu Fei's voice was pleasant, with an acerbic undertone. Hiro glanced up in mild surprise from the scanner. "Email to Exeter, CC to Romaine. Andreev, we confirmed the arrival of two visitors to your colony. They'll arrive from Earth in a couple of days. This was sent 3 days ago."
"Does it give our flight number?"
Hiro muttered. He'd turned from the scanner to cover Romaine with the Krieg while Wu Fei checked the PC.
"No, but it's so detailed it was probably an oversight,"
Wu Fei ground out.
"Expect two men, both of them Asian. Is that what threw you, Romaine? I admit my colleague doesn't look very typical."
Hiro's eyebrows arched slightly. Romaine glared at the carpet. "Indications are that they are young, probably in their 20s. That didn't help either. They should be posing as students, part-time or full-time. Expect them at your club very shortly. Note that you need to take care of them ASAP. Our source indicates they could be break-in specialists."
Wu Fei's voice had slowed down as he read, eyes widening. "If you try to keep them away, they may decide to take a shortcut. I know you don't like these methods, Andreev, but our friends insist that they be made an example. Un and her vermin may have free reign on Earth, but the colonies are ours, especially L3. We will not tolerate a move against one of our interests there. This is important, Andreev. Call me on the secured line if you need any help. And our man in Minsk is standing by, too. It's signed Simon, no last name."
Wu Fei clicked a few keys to open the new email. It was in code. A program on Romaine's desktop amiably inquired if he wanted to decrypt the incoming message. Wu Fei clicked away, indicating that he would be delighted.
"Re-guests. That's us," he informed Hiro.
It's the answer to Romaine's demand for confirmation of our identities. Hiro's grip tightened on the Krieg, hearing the note of shock that Wu Fei had uncharacteristically let slip. Wu Fei read slowly. Andrev, I'm sending this to you and your man Romaine. Please read and respond ASAP. This is urgent. The information you sent us has confirmed that your guests are the ones we were expecting. But there's a big problem. They are VIPs. I hope you have them under sufficient guard. Double it anyway, just to be on the safe side. Wu Fei noted from the corner of his eyes the way Exeter was staring at him, then at Hiro, eyes widening. I know these guys look like kids. I wasn't sure myself when I saw the pictures Romaine sent us, but our people managed to obtain their retinal scans for comparison. I have confirmed it. A creak of metal as Hiro's fingers tightened on the Krieg's grip. They are extremely dangerous. I've included something for final verification on your side. If this is indeed the men you have, neutralize them immediately. You can... Wu Fei's voice did not pause or fluctuate as he read the next few words. Kill the Asian one immediately. Make the body disappear. This is crucial. They have connections beyond Un's rats. But if at all possible, our friends have indicated that they would like to have the other one. When you see who it is, you'll understand. Personally, I don't think this is wise. Dekim would not want us to endanger our organization to avenge his murder. Wu Fei's eyes flickered to Hiro. Dekim Barton? Murder? Hiro's face and his entire stance were entirely closed and uncommunicative, even to Wu Fei. But it would score you points if you can keep this bastard alive until they send someone to fetch him. A team has been dispatched from Minsk. Expect them tomorrow. Take care, my friend. Simon. What's the something for verification he mentioned? Hiro asked tightly. For answer, Wu Fei swung the monitor around, then pointed the Kimber at Romaine so that Hiro could come and read the screen. Hiro bent over, then grabbed the monitor and jerked it to get a better angle, a rough gesture that expressed his shock, though his face remained set in its usual lines. Wu Fei smiled grimly, threw the sour taste in his mouth. The view of the photocopies of their preventer ID cards had caused a flash of undirected adrenaline to flood his system. They accompanied a point comparison of their fingerprints and stored retinal scans, and every detail of their lives except for their home address, bank details, and what their favorite color was. Hiro breathed out heavily, cutting off an abortive exclamation, probably something along the lines of, I'll kill that bitch Anthea for this. Or at least, that's what Wu Fei had wanted to say. It was her job to keep this sort of information secret. If Exeter and Romaine had received that email just a bit earlier, Wu Fei and Hiro might well be dead by now. Hiro, eyes hard and anger printed in every line of his body, moved around the desk and started hammering at the computer's keys. Exeter stared at him, eyes going over his features by the screen's light. Hiro Yui, he said finally. Hiro didn't glance at him. Romaine made a soft, cautioning noise deep in his throat, but his boss ignored it. We know who you are, Exeter continued softly. The urbane image of the businessman was tarnished by the faint, feral look in his eyes. This man wasn't a natural killer, but he had the ruthlessness it took to become one when he needed to be, and have no regrets over it. We've been looking for you. You and the L3 traitor who took Troa Barton's place. Un and her lot are also in our sights. You're no more than roaches crawling through the foundations of our house, but you've grown annoying, and before long we will crush you. But you and the heavy arms as pilot, we will make you pay for what you did to Dekim. You will not harm us and get away with it. Wu Fei kept his gun on Romaine. The ex-legionnaire had twisted his head, trying to catch Exeter's attention. Honest worry for the man in his eyes. It wasn't necessary. Hiro would not do anything to either of them without an order or a cause. and a threat wasn't cause enough for him. Wu Fei didn't need to turn around. He knew there would be a small quirk on Hiro's lips. "If you want me, you're welcome to try." As his partner, Wu Fei was feeling a bit less phlegmatic about this. Un's information was that Exeter wasn't a real player, just a money mover, but his words seemed to indicate that maybe they should reevaluate that profile, and there was no time like the present. "What?" Wu Fei started, but was interrupted by the alarm going off, shrill and shocking. Hiro switched from the keyboard to the Krieg in a heartbeat, training it on Romaine in less than a second. Wu Fei let his partner watch the men while he ran to the door. He couldn't hear anything over the alarms ringing. Would someone other than Romaine and Exeter have the key to this office? Romaine had tensed, but Hiro's speed had discouraged him from trying anything. After 10 seconds, the alarm cut off. Wu Fei, with a glance at Hiro, walked over to the ex-legionnaire and slipped his cell phone from his pocket. "Here, call whomever is in charge, or Pels. Tell them we have you at Exeter and not to try anything funny." "How are you planning on getting out of here?" Romaine grumbled, lifting himself on his elbows to dial. "You know we're not going to let you get away with this alive." "I know you'd like to present our heads on a platter to your friends, in the hope that they'll forget how easily we got all this interesting information from your system," Wu Fei elaborated agreeably. Romaine snarled, but there were creases of worry around his eyes. "But I'm afraid we're not going to make it easy for you. As soon as our team is finished with your system and the contents of your safe, we're calling the police." Romaine bit back his exclamation of surprise. Exeter stared at Wu Fei, brown eyes wide with shock. "Yes, I'll tell them that you invited us here, but then started to get pushy and we panicked. When they'll get here, you'll apologize. We'll do the same. We'll all conclude that it was a big misunderstanding, and we'll get the cops to drive us back to town," Wu Fei concluded. Romaine's eyes narrowed. "And don't think you can accuse us of breaking in here or being the cause of all this fuss," Wu Fei murmured, in a voice touched with steel. "First of all, if things come down to legalities, we are preventers. That makes our word rather hard to counter in a court of law. Second, your own cameras will show you leading us through your garage at gunpoint. You won't have the time to modify those pictures. You can erase them, which will look suspicious, or we can invite the authorities to view them before we leave. That would make for a fun home video." Exeter sighed and rubbed the bridge of his nose tiredly. "And just what will you tell the police when they get here? That having been brought here by force, you decided to go the whole way and break into private information? Without, I assume, anything remotely resembling a warrant? Do you think that will stand up in court?" "Oh, I know we won't be able to get you arrested. Either of you. Though I'm thinking I would like to try." Wu Fei tapped Romaine thoughtfully on the shoulder with the kimber, as the man's fingers stayed frozen on the cell's keys. "Was it you, by the way? Did you pull the trigger on those two cops? And Centauro?" "I don't have any idea what you're talking about," Romaine sneered mockingly. "Of course you don't." "This isn't over." "No. No, it isn't," Wu Fei agreed softly. Romaine got up on his knees and placed the call, then went down and sat on the floor next to Exeter's chair. Wu Fei didn't object, not even when the man twisted his head and muttered a few words in French. Wu Fei's grasp of the language was weak, except for some interesting vernacular picked up from Troa, but it didn't sound like an ominous plot. More like an apology, regret. Exeter's hand dropped to Romaine's shoulder and squeezed it before being clasped once more in his lap. A few whispered words in his accented French. Something about no real harm done. Wu Fei pretended not to notice the gesture. He kept an eye on them and the door until Hiro finished, and then he placed the call to their contact in the L3 police force, who would get things moving with the least amount of fuss. Hiro slipped on his jacket in one smooth movement, patted the Glock in its back holster with a pleased gesture, then grabbed his bags from the bedroom. He looked inordinately cheerful, for Hiro, His face was its usual cold mask, but he was moving around the apartment like a bird taking a last farewell flight around a suddenly open cage.
"Got everything?" he tossed over his shoulder.
"Yes," Wu Fei replied absently, standing immobile near the counter.
"Good. Sam said he'd do the cleanup. What there is of it. He doesn't think we were here long enough to leave many traces. All in all, that went well. Quick and efficient."
"The man I kicked died a few hours ago." Sam had called to warn him, while they were still at the police station, sorting out the details, and the lies, with their contacts, trying to wrap things up. Hiro grunted an acknowledgement, without glancing up from where he was slipping the Krieg, which he'd apparently adopted, into his bag.
"Is that going to be a problem?" he asked as an afterthought.
"No. Exeter wants a fuss even less than we do. He knows it will ultimately not lead anywhere, not in the circumstances in which he brought us to the mansion, and he's got a lot of damage to repair with the syndicate, so he's going to be busy with that. Apparently, he's decided it's safer all around to pretend nothing happened, that we were a normal couple invited to his club, and that there was some misunderstanding. As for the dead man, he told the authorities that he'd fallen down the stairs."
"Oh, I'd like to meet the coroner who can be bribed to sign off on that, with your boot print all over his face."
Hiro leant over and zipped up his duffel, muttering something about bloody L3. When he'd straightened, he'd visibly dismissed the matter.
"That aside, it couldn't have gone better. We fulfilled our mission parameters, got the information, and we didn't even need to bother with all this," Hiro added dryly, waving.
Wu Fei followed the gesture with his eyes. All this was the kitchen, where they'd have eaten their meals and talked about the day's courses, the couch where they'd have watched the news, curled up together, the bed where they'd have slept, and made... fucked. Hiro grabbed his duffel, then slowly put it down again. Wu Fei realized his partner was looking at him oddly. Damn, his lack of enthusiasm, which he himself couldn't explain, was probably obvious in every line of his stance.
"It would have been nice to have proper courses for a few months," Wu Fei explained briskly, trying to shake the odd listlessness that seemed to be rooting him to the spot near the small kitchen counter.
Hiro lifted an eyebrow. Obviously, that would not have been his idea of fun. Then he shrugged.
"We've been on missions continuously for almost a year, give or take a week's recuperation here and there. If you want, Un could give you a month's leave to take some classes."
"No point," Wu Fei interrupted. "We both know that it would probably be cut short by some fire or other. I wouldn't be able to fully concentrate knowing that. I'm sure we'll have a couple of weeks before the next crisis. I can study during my downtime as usual."
Hiro nodded, accepting that at face value. Why shouldn't he?
He shouldered his duffel and strode briskly toward the door.
"Let's go, Chang."
"Yes." The door didn't quite close behind his partner. Wu Fei could hear quick footsteps clattering down the short flight of stairs to the lobby. The squad car had arrived 5 minutes ago. It was waiting outside to take them to the shuttle port, and the Preventer's small troop carrier there. He stared at the apartment, not really seeing it. It was an illusion, about to dissolve back into smoke and light. Sam would take a team in and make sure nothing could be traced back to Wu Fei and Hiro by the time the next occupants moved in. There were some papers on the counter. Wu Fei picked up a couple of brown envelopes absently, addressed to Yui Summers and Chang Lin. They had the university logo on them. He stared at them blankly. As he put his down, something slipped from the open envelope. A round disc, the chitty for his locker in the university's gym. It bounced and spun on the counter, a tiny little noise briefly disturbing the silence of the uninhabited apartment. For a second it revolved on its edge, like a spinning penny. Perfect, as if the movement could go on forever. But then the light plastic started to wobble, its vacillations increasing exponentially until,
Wufei's hand had snatched it up before he even knew he was moving. He found himself gripping the thin plastic, felt its edges bite into his palm. He stared blindly at the kitchen counter. His mind felt numb, as if a shot of Novocaine had muted a small, indefinable ache to a faint, dismissible prickle. "Chang!" The shout echoed in the stairwell. Wufei stood frozen with the chitty and Hiro's envelope for a few more seconds. Then he started, shook himself. Time to go back to HQ. Mission successful and all that. And they hadn't had to fake anything. Much. And only one dead body. And Exeter adequately neutralized. Un would be over the moon. She might even give them a week's vacation. One where they could actually forget about their cell phones and... Well, no. What on earth would they do with themselves? Maybe she'd give them a bonus. That they wouldn't have any interest in spending. Okay, maybe she'd reward them by letting them tie Anthea to a hill of fire ants. Wufei smiled wolfishly and absently dropped paper and plastic on the counter. Let Sam's men deal with it. Make these fake lives disappear. He grabbed his duffel and marched out the door.